Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. It is the 31st day of March. Now, we know land is scarce here in Singapore, but given the current prices, is freehold worth it, or are buyers overpaying for freehold properties? Also, why is it that Punggol and Sengkang seem to be so hot in the resale market? And if this is about build-to-order flats now being available, they fulfill the minimum occupation period time frame, are there any other resale areas that could also follow suit? And as we reopen with COVID, could property sales in the virtual world continue to be an enduring trend, just like online shopping is? And then we take a look at the property market as a whole and ask, is there a real risk of Singaporeans being priced out of any segment of the property market? All that coming up in the show with Eugene Lim, Key Executive Officer of ERA Realty Network. Good morning, Eugene. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Michelle.
Good to have you here. So there was a study recently by IREUS that showed that freehold property here, those properties were sold at about 10.4% higher on average than comparable leasehold properties. So the question is, do you think buyers are overpaying for freehold properties, Eugene?
Well, technically, freehold is forever, right? It does not, there's no lease that, there's no lease. So it does not end at a certain time. Whereas a leasehold, what the buyer is buying is actually the remaining lease of the property. So how many years of the lease that's remaining has an impact on the value of the leasehold property. So let me just give an example. At a new launch, all right, typically you'll find that a new freehold property will be priced about 10 to 15% above a leasehold property, provided they are in the same location. However, when it's about 30 years old, the leasehold property, you will see very little or no growth in the price, and the price gap when compared to the freehold unit will start to widen. When there is only 50 years left in the lease, that is where problems may start for the leasehold property. So, for example, largely the buyers who are buying it in the resale market will face restrictions on the usage of CPF and also perhaps financing. So that's where the value of the leasehold property will start to depreciate. And that's where the gap will widen even further between the leasehold and the freehold.
Okay, I guess given current prices, you know, is the market rationally pricing a very long-term interest in freehold properties?
Well, leasehold and freehold is not just the only determinant of value of property. Very often, the location attributes, the physical condition of the property, nearby amenities, what the master plan has for the future of this area, typically affects the value more than whether it's freehold or leasehold. So there are instances where, for example, a old freehold property may be lower price than a new leasehold property because of these other factors which actually take precedence over whether it's freehold or leasehold.
Okay, given the scarcity of freehold here in Singapore, do you think that demand for freehold properties is going to continue to increase and that could widen the gap between freehold properties and leasehold properties here in Singapore?
I think generally depends what you're looking for. People who are buying for long-term stay, that means they are going to be intending to stay there for a very long time, then a freehold would be their preferred choice typically. However, if we look at the investor market, person who is buying for investment return, typically studies have shown that the leasehold property will attract a higher return on investment. For a very simple reason is that tenants don't care whether it's freehold or leasehold.
Yep.
Tenants look at the location, the attributes, the condition of the property. And so if a freehold and leasehold property is side by side in the same location and have the same attributes, you get the same rent. It doesn't matter whether it's freehold or leasehold. So therefore, if you buy a leasehold property at a lower price, your return on investment goes up. So from our experience, typically investors who are buying just to rent and their exit plan is to maybe hold it for 5 or 8 years or 10 years, then the freehold leasehold issue doesn't really apply. What they look for is more on rentability and also for the rather short-term perspective of what the price would be in about 5, 8, or 10 years' time.
Got it. Great insights there. Eugene Lim is Key Executive Officer at ERA Realty Network joining us this morning. So I hear Punggol and Sengkang are really hot in the resale market, given the number of HDB transactions. Those areas had the most in terms of HDB resale transactions, and it's usually the HDB resale prices, resale flats in mature estates are the ones near the top primary schools and shopping malls that are more popular. But here we see these non-mature estates, Sengkang, Punggol, and the flats there recording as the most popular estates based on the number of HDB resale flats sold in Jan and Feb this year. It's according to data.gov.sg. So why is it that Punggol and Sengkang, these newer estates, are doing so well in the resale market, Eugene?
Well, there are several reasons. I will talk about the main reason first. The main reason is actually the medium to longer term perspective of what's going to happen in Punggol. So extensive master plan to turn Punggol into the next digital district is actually instrumental to increasing the demand and prices of homes in Punggol and Sengkang. So under the URA master plan, Punggol is slated to be Singapore's first smart district and will house many growth industries for the digital economy. So in the next few years, we are likely to see in Punggol a new university campus, market village, heritage trail, offices, logistics hubs and amenities. So these things, as what I mentioned earlier, besides leasehold, freehold, people the buy homes because of what the master plan has in stock. And coincidentally, in this location, many BTO flats in this town has recently attained a 5-year minimum occupation period. And so, therefore, they are also coincidentally attracting a lot of people who are buying into the area, because newer flats are popular and they also typically fetch higher prices. So the original owners who are thinking of upgrading, this is an excellent time to offload their flats because the buyers are willing to pay a good price for a new resale flat. And the last reason is that for 5-room flats, HDB has either reduced the supply. You see, in the new BTO launches, you hardly see 5-room flats. And or in certain locations, they have actually stopped building them. However, in this Punggol Sengkang area, there are quite a number of 5-room flats because these flats were built previously. And so in the building program back then, 5-room flats are still so-called produced in good numbers. So people who are looking to buy resale 5-room flats are also flocking to the area. That's why you see increase in transaction.
Okay, so there are many bigger flats that you can't see elsewhere. There are also relatively more newer flats given the supply of BTO flats in the area that have achieved MOP. And on that point, we know that the government increased the supply of BTO flats from 2011 to 2014. And, you know, that's why we're seeing more BTO flats achieving MOP in recent years. So given that trend, do you expect other areas to also follow suit, what Punggol and Sengkang have done?
What drives demand, housing demand and property value is, again, what's happening in and around the area. So in the medium, longer term. So if you're looking at high growth areas, I would be focusing on, for example, the key regional centers in Singapore. So another place to perhaps be watching over will be the Jurong Lake District area.
Okay.
Jurong Lake District, it's a 360 50-hectare site and is slated to be the largest mixed-use business district outside of the city centre. So it's around the Jurong Lake. Mm-hmm. A lot of leisure recreational cluster is also planned around there. And 4 MRT lines will be serving the district by 2035. So actually, you are looking at Singapore's second CBD right in Jurong. So it's no doubt demand for housing in the area, and also prices will be trending upwards in the near future. Longer term play, perhaps in two other locations. One is the Greater Southern Waterfront, which stretches from Pasir Panjang to Marina East, is another major gateway. So we know the ports, and for example, end of this year, Keppel Club, the lease on Keppel Club will expire, and the land will be returned back to the state. What we know on the master plan is that the entire area around Keppel Club is slated for residential only. Mm. And of course, we do not know the plot ratio yet. If we look at the master plan, it's only zone residential. So up and coming around in the Keppel Club area will be residential units. Part of them have been allocated for HDB flats. So there will also be HDB flats coming up in the Keppel Club area. And another longer term play, perhaps is the Paya Lebar area. We know the Paya Lebar air base will be relocated, but that is from 2030, in 9 years time. So the area around the air base and its surrounding industrial developments are likely to be gradually transformed into very highly livable, area with a new town. So these are the longer term play, forgotten region is the Changi region, which is actually our airport hub. So of course now nobody talks about air travel and all that, but when things recover, we expect the Changi region to be up and bustling again, and this will continue to be one of the key centers for employment, and as well as demand for housing and all that will be increasing.
Oh, that's a lot of good insights there. People are going to want to replay this episode over and over. Eugene Lim, Key Executive Officer, ERA Realty Network, really giving us a lot of gold there. All right, let's turn to buying property in the virtual world. There is actually a firm that is raising money to buy distressed condos in the physical world, and it's launching a fund aimed at investors who are seeking to buy virtual land. It's called Republic Real Estate. And the idea is to buy parcels of land across several online metaverses, allowing for these virtual lands to be developed into virtual museums or stores or other uses. And the idea is to increase their value of this land amongst cryptocurrency enthusiasts. So whether it's buying virtual property or buying property in the virtual world, what are your thoughts, Eugene?
Wow, this is totally new. I would say it quite possibly will take some time to buy in. I think while we have seen the digital art take off, property remains to be seen, because property, most people with the money and invest in property see property as a physical, immovable asset. Very new to be talking about it in the virtual world, but then again, keeping an open mind, we will never know what will happen as we go forward, because the newer generation of buyers and investors actually have very different thinking, and as they say, it takes two hands to clap. So if there's demand, there will always be supply. So in every venture, every new kind of project, a new development, it is a venture, and at the end of the day, it has to be demand. If there's no demand, it will fail. Mm. All right. So we don't know. We have to continue to watch. I think, of course, we have seen digital art, okay, being very starting to take off and being successful. Mm. So who knows? All right.
Mm. Keep an open mind. So I guess no agents selling parcels of land in Decentraland yet.
Not yet.
Price at $2,703, in case, listener, you were interested, per parcel. Let's move to the luxury markets. It really made the news when all 20 units at Swire Properties luxury condo Eden at 2 Draycott Road was sold to a single buyer. Went for $293 million. All 20 apartments. It's an ultra-luxury residence in the heart of Singapore. All 20 apartments to a buyer from outside of Singapore, raising some to question if there is a risk of Singaporeans being priced out of the private property market. What is your say, Eugene?
Well, firstly, we have to look at this project that has just found a buyer. It is not a mass market project. It is a very niche, high-end property. And so, therefore, it appeals to a very targeted audience because of its unique proposition. So I would not take this one-off sale as saying that, look, Singaporeans have no chance because the foreigners are going to buy up everything. I don't think so. All right, because if we look at what the numbers are telling us, if we take away this buyer of this one-off project, then if we look at what data is telling us from data.gov, actually 78% of the new buyers in District 9 and 10, which is our prime district, are Singaporeans. Mm. So, numbers don't lie. And so generally, there's some misconception that more foreigners are buying properties in prime areas, which is not so. If we look at foreigners today, if they buy Singapore residential properties, they have to pay 20% ABSD, additional buyer stamp duty. So that puts them at a very severe disadvantage, you know. Mm. So the majority of the sales in District 9 and 10, 78% of them, new project buyers, they are Singaporeans. And just beside District 9, 10, in Districts 1, 2, and 7, we are also looking at 83% of the buyers are Singaporeans. So, so they are buying, except that now most developers are aware that the demographics have changed. Singaporeans are typically, the household size has come down, mm-hmm. right? We're dealing with small families or dual income, no kids. So most developers, and also to keep prices attractive, are making the unit small. So you find that majority of the transactions that have been taking place in prime districts are one bedroom, two bedroom, and even studio units. So, and we have been observing that, you know, the buyers are not old people. You know, the traditional thinking is that, oh, buy prime property, you must be old people, you know, they have more money. But no, actually, quite a number of the buyers in the recent launches, they are quite young. All right. And they're quite young. And then, so they are taking a different, like I said, the young investor, they look at it quite differently. So they are more likely to be more urbanized. A lot of them probably work in the CBD area. And so you find that commuting and being near to the place of work is quite important to them. And not just, not just the traditional thinking of, oh, you must be near schools and all that kind of thing. No, not necessarily.
Well, thank you for helping us look past the racy headlines to the data and what the data is signaling, Eugene. Always fascinating to speak with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for having me on the show.
He's Eugene Lim, Key Executive Officer at ERA Realty Network.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.